All right, thanks, Bob. I'm an alcoholic, and my name is Craig. And once again, thank you, District 6, for the opportunity to be of service and to share my experience, strength, and hope. We can't keep it if we don't give it away. And really grateful for the opportunity to get out of myself today. We had some bad news recently about my mom, and been up all night and at the hospital and stuff. And so it's really good to be a sober member of AA and have the opportunity to be there for her and carry this message, and also to watch her, who has the 12 steps in her life as a member of Al-Anon, and my wife and my stepson, and all of us just kind of coming together to try to, you know, just do the best we can with what we can't control. So, but yes, as far as the topic, thank you very much for the opportunity to share. Last week, we had gotten into a little bit of the history of Alcoholics Anonymous, and kind of talked a little bit about why unity is so important, how it developed, some of the mistakes we made. I do want to keep the connection with you guys. If you have a question at any point, even if you have one right now, if you took some stuff we discussed or went over and used it in your business meeting, or you had something come up at a district you were in, or whatever the case is, fire off the questions, because I'd much rather try to bring experience to a question that you're here and help bring an answer to it than just quote unquote speak to you. Not that sharing experience is bad, but you know, it'd be nice to know if we could touch on what you're thinking. And it would also help me to flow in the direction that maybe some of us are thinking here. So I was talking last week when we ended, actually, about AA members and their families and considering other areas of AA and the usefulness of non-alcoholics and the development of AA, which is not to be confused with singleness of purpose, just the relationships we've had with members of the community who are non-alcoholic. It's funny, when you go around the room and ask people, hey, who do you think was the most influential non-alcoholic with respect to the development or the growth of Alcoholics Anonymous? If you have an informed bunch, or even a relatively informed bunch, you should get a wide variety of answers. But the funny thing is, the least amount I ever hear people bring up is actually Bill's wife. It's the least amount I ever hear bring up. I also rarely hear Carl Jung. Two very, very important pieces of the non-alcoholic community. You often hear William Silkworth and Sister Ignatia and stuff like that, but there's actually so many, and we'll do history another day, but I'm just saying it's important. The reason I bring this up, when we're utilizing the traditions, the basis of that is how do we work together and function together in the AA group with other AA groups in the AA community and the world about us. And I gave an example last week, I think, about the International Convention and how we have the opportunity to bring in a speaker from a Georgia State penitentiary. Having relationships with people in the community really helps strengthen the message of Alcoholics Anonymous, expand the hand of AA, and maybe even widen the doors a little. Because the more trust, the more interaction, the more information we have with those in our community, the easier it is for, you know, AAs or potential alcoholics to come get the message. I really like what the Hispanic community does where we're from. During their group anniversary, they make it a public information workshop. So they create a flyer and they invite all the public figures out in the AA community, whether it be bringing all the members together in the AA community, probation officers, judges, lawyers, doctors, etc. They have a speaker. They let them know what AA is, what it isn't, what we do, what we don't do. And as we get into those traditions, and hopefully through some of your questions, again, we're going to see the importance. There was a survey done years ago, which I think it was 30% of us came to Alcoholics Anonymous through a professional. But the interesting thing, and an AA member expanded upon that, is even for those of us that maybe did not come here through a professional, we probably got here through a member of AA who 12-stepped us, who got here through a professional. So our relationship with the professional community is very important. We go into rehabs, we go into institutions, correctional facilities, schools. Again, very important. And what can an AA group do to be prepared? Well, the next time you're having a business meeting and you're looking for something to come up with, or a conversation to have, if you're an open AA group, it's my experience, it's my belief that you should have a packet already prepared for the professional. Because if you're an open group, believe me, there are people in your community, you might not have known them because they didn't identify to you. They didn't raise their hand and share, or maybe somebody didn't ask them, hey, where are you from, etc. But a lot of nursing students, people in the social work field, pre-med, pre-law, a lot of those as part of their college work, whatever, they come to check out an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. So it's a good opportunity. And I often argue, I think, I can't remember everything that I said last week, but I know I talk that it's not the newcomer that's the most important person in the room. It's the alcoholic, regardless of where we're at in our sobriety. But very close to that is the professional, because the professional is going to see thousands and thousands of potential alcoholics. So we want to make sure they know who A is, who it isn't, what we do, what we don't do, and they have the accurate information so that they can pass that along to the potential alcoholic. If you're looking at A Comes of Age, if you have one on you, page 96 talks about the 12 traditions being vital principles. Talks about them being built out of experience, and the survival of Alcoholics Anonymous so heavily depends upon these principles. It says specifically, our traditions are a guide to better ways of working and living, and they're also an antidote for our various maladies. In other words, they are solutions to our problems. The 12 traditions are to group survival and harmony, what A's 12 steps are to each member's sobriety and peace of mind. Our bodies are a small working part of a bigger body. We are all connected in AA. We are a small part of a huge piece necessary for a great whole. Whether we be the individual AA member, the local AA group that meets on a dock, that meets on the 32nd floor in Manhattan, that meets underground in Israel, whatever it might be, we are all a small part of a bigger piece necessary. It's important, in my experience, to get in touch with the altruism. Because when I'm putting the money in the basket or I'm raising my hand about an issue at the group, I should be thinking about how this is going to affect A as a whole, how this is going to affect District 6, how this is going to affect Area 15, not just my group. You know, we talk about it in a big book sense. Remember, I'm telling you, service and recovery are not separate. We read the big book, we look at the 11th step, and we ask ourselves where we're selfish, dishonest, whatever. Well, it works the same way with the group. It says in the big book, we shouldn't be worried about my plans, my designs, me, 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 me. Well, it's the same thing with respect to the group. And what direction you want to take that is up to you. But whatever you do, I suggest filtering them through the 12 traditions. It's my experience when we're discussing business in a business meeting, business in area meeting, district, intergroup, young persons committee, whatever, that we're really looking them through the lens of AA shared experience known as the 12 traditions. How is this going to affect the common welfare? Is this an informed group conscience? Is this truly an AA group? I mean, there's one you could start with. Is this an AA group? What is an AA group? Am I alcoholic? What is it? What does it mean to be an AA member / alcoholic? Do we consult with other groups and find out what their experience is? Are we sticking to our primary purpose? Are we being distracted by money, property, prestige, drunk for power? Are we declining outside contributions? How are we in our message? Are we professionalizing AA's 12-step work? Are we considering those we haven't met yet and how we can best serve them? Are we taking opinions on outside issues? Are we anonymous? Are we sacrificing? Is our primary entity, the AA group, carrying that spiritual message of AA? It's no longer about me. Again, service and recovery are not separate. It's no longer about me. It also means the name of my home group is the Mighty Purpose and Rhythm Group. It means it's no longer about, and I'm not saying it was, but it's no longer about the Mighty Purpose and Rhythm Group. It's about how the Mighty Purpose and Rhythm Group can connect with District 12 that it cooperates with in. Area 11, United States and Canada structure. How it can serve the alcoholic it hasn't met yet. I love the long form of AA's traditions. We talk often about traditions, and I think the short form is confusing, to be honest with you. I think it doesn't tell the whole story. It's not as explicit. And I'll give you an example. So when we look at the short form of tradition one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon a unity. I mean, that sounds wonderful. And it makes a lot of sense, especially for somebody who's been through the 36 principles and different parts of AA and et cetera. But what makes a lot more sense to me is the long form of tradition one. As it says, each member of Alcoholics Anonymous is but a small part of a great whole. AA must continue to live or most of us will surely die. Hence, our common welfare comes first, but individual welfare follows close afterward. I love the clarity. I love the explicitness. I love the specificity, blah, 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 blah. Use the long form is my suggestion. We can get in on another day why there's the short and the long form and this and that and third, but it's still AA shared experience. I would suggest using it. It's a little bit more helpful. Saved from death. It says in my big book when we're in the first 44 pages, and I think I also talked about this, but the common peril between me and anyone on this page, this whatever, this group here tonight, these squares, is you have a mental obsession like me, you have a physical craving like me, and you have a spiritual malady like me. And I could really identify with you with that respect. But where it becomes an unshakable foundation, where it becomes cemented, and where relationships beyond my dreams become possible, is when I also identify with you having the solution of the 12 steps to that problem. I feel we have so much to talk about, so much to connect on. And it, again, service and recovery are not separate. It works that same way within a group, in my experience. When we're grounded in these 12 traditions, it just seems like we have a little bit more to connect on, a little bit more to talk about. I like the story here that, where they often talk, well, not just here, but, where they talk about Eddie Rickenbacker. And if you know that story, like, you can imagine being lost at sea, and in order for everyone to get to safety, we got to help each other out. But imagine actually literally being lost at sea and all kinds of flaring self-centered people, and people are afraid to die, and there's, you know, a little bit of food left or no food at all. And how do we stick together so that we can get to shore? And although it doesn't feel like everybody's starving in AA, so to speak, and we have no way to make it to shore, it's that same kind of thing that we're kind of dealing with in AA. We're on the boat together. I was, I won't name the organization, but when I was, it was 2004, 2005, I was doing some volunteer work for an organization that wasn't Alcoholics Anonymous. And because of this catastrophe that happened, there was news cameras everywhere. It seemed like everybody wanted to be involved when the news cameras were there. But as soon as the news cameras left, it seemed like a lot of people didn't want to be involved anymore. In Alcoholics Anonymous, I mean, we save lives every day. We save lives every day. So if we're saving lives, and we're doing this every day, we want to see what we can do better. We want to see what the most effective thing is to connect. Is there any questions so far, Bob? Or is it Brooke that's doing it?
It is. I have a couple. So I'll go one at a time and you can let me know. So the first one says, does Craig have suggestions for what pamphlets or guidelines, etc., would make up a useful and effective packet for the professional community when they come to our open meeting?
Oh, absolutely. But I wouldn't dare do the work for you. I would tell you and suggest for you to look at anything that has to do with the public information workbook, which you can find on AA.org, anything that has to do with the CPC workbook, which you can find on AA.org, and some of the pamphlets that are referenced in there. On AA.org, when you look at guidelines that have specifically to do. Now, be careful when you're grabbing pamphlets, because some pamphlets are for the AA member and some pamphlets are the professionals. So take time and read them. Take time and look at them. Read them with your group. Figure them out with your group. But I will give you those nuggets. PI workbook, CPC workbook, the guidelines that deal with public information and cooperation professional community, within the AA guidelines and AA.org, and then just look at some of those pamphlets yourself and think of what might be most useful. The only other nugget I'll give you too is contact your district rep with respects to PI and CPC and ask them to either come to your group and talk. Like, this is a lot better than me giving you all the answers, because then people connect and talk together and work and this and that. So that's what I would suggest. If you really, really, really want a list of seven things, well, then grab my number and call me and I'll give you the shortcut. But I'd rather not give you the cliff notes. I'd rather you take a look at the workbook, communicate with the district rep, stuff of that sort. I hope that's helpful. Is there another one?
Yes. In your own words, what is the spiritual message of AA?
Sorry, I'm just trying to, they're not really my words, but I understand the question. Sorry, I got hung up on that. So the spiritual message of AA is the 12 steps, 12 traditions, 12 concepts. That's it. That simple. The program of Alcoholics Anonymous is the 12 steps. With respects to Bill, I mean, he said, if we're going to die, we're going to die from within. And it's so true. And ultimately, it's our responsibility anyway, because even if said professional doesn't know our traditions or said professional doesn't know where we're located, that's our responsibility anyway. So if we're not holding up our side of the street, then I could see us falling apart. And it's an interesting organization, right? Because if we're at a district meeting and I have no report, you're going to applaud for me. Oh my God, thank you. Let's get out of here. This is great. And then Bob knows what he's talking about, and he has like a 10-minute excerpt on something that's really important in the direction of a topic. And we're like, Bob, come on, man. You think you know everything? And it's just like, I don't understand that. Like we should really take the time to want to hear our trusted servants. And I'm not saying you're bad if you don't have a report, although I've never not had a report in my life. But if you don't have a report, what exactly is your concept three responsibility? What exactly are you sharing with the district, the group, the area, et cetera? How are we connecting to the work that was done through the month? Or if we're meeting quarterly or whatever. So, Brooke, if you need to put me on topic, it's a tough night. I hope I'm staying on topic.
I know.
Here.
That's okay. Yeah. I have more questions. So, sure. And keep sending them, everyone. Okay. So do you believe the message should change, or like Bill said, just the way we carry the message?
I mean, that's kind of a loose question, because does that mean, like, I don't, so I'll answer it in general because I feel it was asked in general, but I don't think our message should change, needs to change, or has ever changed. And I would even argue that it's not even a matter of how we carry it. I think it's just a matter of if we carry it. Because I've rarely seen where we actually carry the message, where there's some sort of issue of these ailments that we talk about, whether it's rigidity or whatever. It's often when we have self-appointed leadership, uninformed group conscience, a lack of information, stuff of that sort, where you start to see these schisms pop up and things start to get confusing. I think I said this last week, but I was doing a workshop and there were some old timers, and it was really good because one of the new people in service, I was talking about singleness of purpose and I was talking about being an institution, and the guy was very grateful for the information I had brought and the reiteration of what our principles are. And he said, but what's really frustrating, Craig, is no matter how many people like you or me carry the message of the traditions and help people understand who we are, and here we are talking with the professionals, there's always these individuals coming behind us and saying, oh, don't worry about it. Who cares if they're not alcoholic? They can replace words. And they're giving the community a very mixed message of who we are. So what does that mean? We don't want to be, conformist or demanding or whatever, but we want to make sure people know who we are. And we want to ask people that want to be a part of this organization to take the time to know what that is. But then there's also the thought, well, I'm just here for 3 days. I'm just trying to stay sober. And again, that's where I think these traditions are so important, because when we're grounded as a group in these principles, I'm never worried about one individual who is trying to find out whether or not they're alcoholic. I'm never worried about one individual who says, I don't really like the way AA is here. That's fine. Because as a group, we kind of figure out the opportunity to have those, you know, discussions and air those things out and figure out how we could be more effective. Is there more?
Yes. Since we are talking traditions and AA comes of age, please give us a little background on how the short and long developed. And then it says, thank you, briefly. So
Bill started drafting the traditions before they were widely accepted, and he started selling. I mean, before they were, you know, at the first conference, they were widely accepted. He started drafting these. He started putting them in front of people. You recall the 12 points of tradition at first, and you know, he started putting them in front of, you know, A groups and stuff, and trying to sell them. And then somewhere along the line, and I don't remember the exact year right now, and I'm pretty sure the guy's name was Ernie, came up with this idea of a short form. And I'm not even sure in this moment right now if I'm 100% correct on the individual there, but I do know the basis was they came up with this short form. And the short form, as you can say, I mean, have your own experience it. Go take a look at the long form, experience the long form, look at the short form, and you tell me which one you think is more clear and helpful. The interesting thing is, if you go to the back of your big book, you're going to find both. That's the interesting thing. Yes, that's right.
All right.
I knew the question. The name was Earl. I'm sorry.
Earl. Awesome. How would you go about exciting a group about the traditions?
Oh, man, if anyone knows me, I don't like the word excitement. And I also don't like the word exciting. I'll tell you why. It says in the big book to be careful of excitement. And I believe it's a self-centered endeavor. But I'm not going to play semantics. I understand the point. But I will use the word inspired. How would I go about inspiring an AA group is the same way I would go about inspiring a newcomer at treatment. The same way I would go about inspiring a family member about AA is I would live the message of AA. I would practice the principles of Alcoholics Anonymous. I would take suggestions. I would stay contacted to my higher power. I would talk to my sponsor, service sponsor. I would ask for experience. I would say I don't know when I don't know. I would feel confident and comfortable when I do, but I would be, you know, humble. And that's something I've never really had a hard time with. Because when you ground yourself in the principles and you share from the heart, it's attractive. It really is. I'm not going to tell you everyone loves me or even likes me, but I'm pretty sure most people are going to respect me because I'm doing what they're trying to do, share their experience, strength, and hope. And that's why it's about equality in that manner. There's really not a lot of room for dividing us. And it's crazy because when you think about the schisms that divert us from the common welfare, it's all the alcoholic traits, arrogance, ego, self-pity, self-seeking, dishonesty. I have a question in the book here when my sponsees are going through comes of age with me. Does my self-seeking harm my group or AA as a whole? And there would be some people in AA that'd be like, whoa, whoa, like you're putting too much on the guy. Like he can't harm AA as a whole. Well, I disagree. I disagree. Because if I'm spouting something off at the top of my mouth that I know nothing about, and I'm spreading misinformation, then I could easily harm AA as a whole. If I'm engaging in behavior that is selfish and self-centered, I could easily harm AA as a whole. Doesn't necessarily mean A is going to die because of what I did or because of what you did, but it's still a harm that I need to make right. It's still, you know, causing dissension and deflection within AA. Another question I have, which I write on the page and we go through, does sex divide me? And I always love asking the sponsee to answer that question before I tell him what I mean by that. But when I say does sex divide me, some people in the room would think about actual sex. Like my addiction to sex, is that going to divide me? Or engaging in the active sex with said A member, is that going to divide me? That's not what I mean by the question at all. I just mean, does gender, sex, etc. divide me? I've never bought into this idea, and I'm not necessarily going to touch it when it comes to sponsorship. I'm just saying in general, I never bought into the idea of men here, women there. It's just, how does that leave room for God? That doesn't even honor the experience of early Alcoholics Anonymous. Now, again, I'm going to be explicit. I'm not saying that there's not things to think about when it comes to the intimate relationship of sponsorship or something of that sort. And even then, I don't touch it. It's up to the individuals. But I'm just talking about, like, when I walk into a group and the men have to sit on this side and the women have to sit on that side and stuff like that. Or when someone comes to a meeting, I have to automatically send them, you know, to a woman. Like, it doesn't make sense to me. I reach my hand out to the alcoholic who suffers, and I don't want it to divide me in a prejudiced way. And I also don't want it to divide me in a literal way. I want to be open-minded to anyone I can help and any vessel to recovery I can be. I'd like to. Do we have more?
That's it so far.
Perfect. So it talks about true brotherhood, harmony, and love fortified by clear insights and right practices are the only answers with respect to when we're talking about the common welfare. When I walk into an AA group, specifically my home group, if it's about me, it's an issue. And for me, that's where, when we look at our inventory and our four step, was it selfish or not? Again, service and recovery are not separate. When we're discussing things at the business meeting, are we basing in the common welfare? How can this best serve the common welfare of the blank group? And then how does that affect the common welfare of the district that we live in or the area or even A as a whole? I mean, it talks about in the checklist, you know, are we considering groups in Alaska, wherever we are? How do we consider groups in Alaska if we don't know the service structure? How do we consider the overall services that are provided to us if we don't know what those services are? Which goes back to the A group pamphlet saying where it all begins. Are we really inside of our home groups? Do we know all the possible service committees that are available to us? Do we know what service sponsorship is? Do we know what the 12 traditions are and how to find access to that? Do we understand what the 12 concepts are, what our role is in the general service structure? Do we understand what an intergroup is and how we cooperate with that entity and where it resides with respect to the general service structure? Do we know how to get in contact with someone when a professional has a question? Like, a lot of the times individuals take on these tasks and try to control the outcome of things versus using the committee. I always love getting the committee involved. I always love it. People ask me all the time, just like they did on here a couple of minutes ago, for an answer. I like for them to call up the local district or the area. I like for them to call up the area and say, hey, what's the most amount I can contribute to your area? Because if an individual calls one of the 93 areas, most of those 93 areas don't have a guideline or a policy on that. What a wonderful way to talk about the seventh tradition. When you call them up and say, hey, what's the most I can contribute? Just because the General Service Conference has come up with the most an individual can contribute, doesn't mean that the area necessarily is implemented, has a policy, or talks about it. How do we deal with singles of purpose? What do you do when there's an anonymity issue? What does the delegate do? It's in writing that whenever there's an anonymity issue, usually if the office knows about it, they'll call if it's a really widely public thing. But when there's an anonymity issue, how does the delegate deal with that? That could be a big task. When I was a delegate, I worked with the public information almost to a fault. The amount of anonymity breaks that was going on Facebook was ridiculous. But who else is supposed to talk to them? We're not policing them, but who else is gonna own a conversation? What's fascinating to me is this idea of anarchy. The idea of I can do whatever I want. Well, if you don't want to be involved in AA, which you don't have to, but if you don't want to be involved in AA, if you're not interested in a sponsor, if you're not interested in the book or the steps, if you think the traditions are outdated, if you think the service structure is boring, if you don't like the way the meeting is conducted on a Tuesday night, and I don't mean this rudely, I'm just saying, why are you here? And I'm asking the individual that's had a chance to decide while they're here. I'm not talking about someone that's in their first week and am I an alcoholic? Do I like the Tuesday night or the Friday night? I'm asking members that are established and stuff. Why are we here? And it's okay to have that conversation. Why are you here? That's nothing to do with welcoming them or not. Maybe they can offer us something. I remember when I was delegate, we had big breaks in anonymity. I invited all those people that didn't believe in anonymity to come to the assembly and talk to us why they didn't believe anonymity anymore. And we had those discussions. It's always good to have discussions. Another question I have in my AA comes of age is the question, am I of arrogance or am I of harmony? You really want to get to know yourself. There's no such thing as yes or no questions when it comes to AA questions. When you look at page 86 in the 11th step, those are not yes or no questions for me. Was I selfish? Was I dishonest? Not yes, yes. I'm going to explore where I was selfish. I'm going to explore where I'm dishonest. When I look at the question, am I of arrogance or harmony? What I do is I really sit with that and I understand that I'm both. But hopefully I'm a little bit more of harmony than I am of arrogance. But while I'm looking at that, I need to look at my arrogance. It is still instinctual for me to think I know better. What I have learned, which helps me, it really doesn't justify or fix anything, but I'm just sharing this with you. What I have learned for me with respect to arrogance is I am broken. I grew up in alcoholism. I grew up in alcohol home, alcoholic community, alcoholic family, alcoholic state. I became bitten by the self-imposed crisis of alcoholism, et cetera, and all that. I needed arrogance to survive. The truth would have killed me so many times over. For whatever reason, that makes it easier for me today to understand that I walk into a room unintentional, and I know more than anyone. And I don't even mean that in the sense that I can beat you in football trivia. I just mean that in the sense that I still feel like I need to survive. Like something's going to be ripped away from me. I don't want someone to see the shame. I don't want someone to know what I'm hiding. It's still there for whatever reason. But the steps, the 10th step, the 11th step, amends that I've made, allows me to ask for the power of harmony. Anytime I speak, anywhere at any time, I have a big spiel of prayer I go through. But I always end with asking God to show me what I can do for the person who is still sick, the group, the district, the area, the inner group, or any of his children, help me carry the message of love and light of the steps, traditions, and concepts in as harmonious of an opportunity as I can. And I'm sure sometimes I'm not good at that. I'm sure sometimes I'm really good at that. I'm sure sometimes it's up for interpretation. But what I do is I ask for the power to be harmonious. What that means to me is I need to be sacrificing. The group's not about me anymore. I mean, it never was, but I'm saying in my mind, it's not about me. I need to be open to other ideas. But let's not confuse that with I need to be open to misinformation. Just because I need to be open to other ideas doesn't mean I go to the other side of the extreme. I'm still allowed to say, you know, point of order. Somebody said that we had $7,000 in the treasury when we only have seven. It's good for you to speak up with respect to the principal, you know? It's not really good for me to take the individual's inventory and tell him he doesn't know what he's talking about, but it's okay for me to say point of order because it will benefit the common welfare. I think about it all the time with respects to my uncles and cousins and even sponsees I've had that they're constitutionally incapable. The longer I hold on to that, the longer I try to fix them or save them or whatever, we're all going down. It's much better to consider the common welfare. And that individual will closely follow or he won't. That's the cold world of alcoholism. We're not leaving anyone behind, but we're not going to burn all of our resources into one individual that doesn't even want to be here to begin with. And please don't misinterpret me. I'm not in any way suggesting tell someone to go F themselves or whatever. I'm just creating a vision of what my experience is with respect to the common welfare. That when we come together with what's best for us as a whole, that other stuff kind of falls into place. Is there any more questions, Brooke? Okay. The common welfare, the way we can implement that with respects to groups, like some little things to help us you know, figure that out if we can't figure it out on his own is a thing called a group inventory. Usually you want to have the DCM or the delegate or an informed member. It doesn't have to be limited to them. An informed member of AA who knows the step tradition, the concepts, who's been involved in the service structure, who has had experience with group inventories. Help us look at, for example, the 13 questions in the pamphlet, the A group where it all begins. You know, most group that have a really solid message, that have 150 people there, that have a long line of sponsorship, that wrote a lot of Grapevine articles, they're really, really proud of themselves. They have a lot of pride and they feel really good. But when you ask them the question, when the last time they put a big book in the library was, they don't have an answer. Or when you ask them, you know, what they're doing with respects to visiting the churches and making sure that, you know, we put a little advertisement in the local bulletin so that folks know where AA is and where it's not. When we ask them what they're doing to run down to the probation office to let folks know where we are, or how are they working with the district public information, or you ask them if they've considered in their group structure to have a PI rep or a CPC rep, or if you happen to be near a prison, a correctional facility rep, it never even crossed their mind. They had no idea. A lot of times we think of the word selfish just as someone who, I don't know, maybe stole something or cheated on somebody or, you know, made something just about them. But we could still be selfish even with good intentions. We could have a great message and still be stuck in self. The reason I love the traditions is it really opens up the mind, but also the collective conscience of the group. You know, how is my group practicing the three legacies? The first and easy and most simplest one is, do you have a step shade, a tradition shade, and a concept shade up at your group? It's a conversation starter. It's certainly not going to fix the future of AA, and it's really not even going to make any money for the office by purchasing them. There's really no markup in there for you, but it's going to like, oh, what's that? If we are based in the step tradition concepts, we should have them hanging. Or if we're a virtual group, however we choose to facilitate the mention of them, right? It's a tradition workshop, so I won't go too much into the concept, but it does have to do with respect to the common welfare. If we're ashamed of our own message, how far do you expect us to get? If your answer to some of these questions are, well, newcomers come in here and I don't want to scare them away, my question to you is, are you afraid that our message is going to scare them away? Because if you are, then we need to have that conversation. If you think there's something wrong with our message, if you think there's something wrong with the totality of what we offer, we should probably have that discussion. Because if you're right, we should probably all do something about it. But you know what I see as the biggest difference? And again, I think different than people. When we say that we need to lay aside personal ambitions, to me, it's not just my idea is better than anyone else. It's the alcoholic that thinks they know what the other alcoholic's feeling. The alcoholic that needs to protect the alcoholic. You know what I'm talking about, right? There's some of you in the room, or you've met some of those alcoholics, or you've looked at that alcoholic in the mirror. We don't need to protect anyone. We just need to create a safe environment for people to see who we are, and then they get to choose whether they want to be here or not. I love my home group, the complete abandoned group. We started in a church basement. We grew a little bit. We went to a different church. Then we went to we ended up meeting at a local clubhouse. We used to have a treatment center come to our group all the time. We would talk about traditions in that group. We'd talk about concepts, A comes of age, the service manual, and of course the big book, the 12 and 12, etc. We had people that were brand new to the program that loved it. One of the members left the treatment center and stayed with us when he left the treatment center. Most people would tell you, why are you talking about concepts? They don't even know how to stay sober. This is my experience. When you're informed about the 12 concepts, they're an attribute to the 12 steps. When you understand the 12 traditions, they really help solidify the importance of the 12 steps and the altruism of the movement. It really means a lot to someone who's coming off the streets with nowhere to go, and you tell them how big AA is. and why the service structure is here and how the service structure got him to this room tonight. And then you do what you do any other time in AA. You share your experience, strength, and hope. I love when people say, hey, man, we want to ask you a favor tonight before you share your story. Yeah, sure. Tell me. What do you want me to say? Well, we really want you to talk about service tonight. And I'm like, why wouldn't I talk about service? I don't just come here to service isn't a topic. You know, for me, that's part of my experience, strength, and hope. I'm going to always talk about the steps, tradition, concepts. I'm going to talk about how I couldn't stop drinking, the mental obsession, the physical craving, the spiritual malady. All of that is combined. And I really think we've lost that in a lot of ways. And I'm just one person. I'll put that disclaimer out there. I'm just one person. I don't know everything. But I really feel that we've lost the basic, fundamental experience, strength, and hope. But remember, in order to have experience, strength, and hope, you have to have experience. So some people may be telling you they're sharing experience, strength, and hope, but there's a difference between sharing your experience with the principles and working the principles and then just something you read or a page you quote or an idea that someone gave you. For example, I would challenge each person in this group, workshop, squares, tonight, tomorrow, next week, whatever. Ask yourself, without looking at any book, without opening any piece of literature, can I sit here and can I share my experience, strength, and hope with each one of the 12 traditions? What is my experience with tradition one? What is my experience with tradition two? What is my experience with tradition three? If somebody asked me what tradition four meant, how would I explain it to them? And if you have a good ground in that, that's awesome. If you don't, say you don't. And then ask for help. And I'm getting a little borderline preachy here. I apologize. But I'm just trying to say that I think, because I did it, it's my instinct to pretend I know to protect myself versus to say, I actually don't know what my experience is with Tradition 5. What does that even mean? I don't know what that means. What I did learn later on, as I got more involved in services, I actually understood a lot of the traditions. I just didn't have the experience to be able to put it into words and to make it attractive. Like, because obviously it's pretty simple. What's my experience with Tradition 5? And we can sit here for hours. My experience is participating in the business meeting. My experience is sponsoring, being sponsored. My experience is being involved in service. Anything I could do to help carry the message of AA, that's my experience with Tradition 5. It's pretty simple. I'd really like to see us as a whole get more grounded in you know what AA's principles are. We got a few minutes left. Brooke, is there any other questions that came over?
Yes, I have one. It says, any idea what the purchase difference is between the amount of steps and tradition shades bought versus concept shades? That would probably be quite telling.
I don't know. I used to know. I know you can very easily find that. I do know this, though. There's clearly more step shades that are being purchased than concept shades. And there's clearly more tradition shades that are being purchased than concept shades. So that's that answer.
And yes, I just got another one. It says, what is your experience with Tradition 1?
Thank you. My experience with Tradition 1 is asking what was, again, service and recovery are not separate, asking what was taught to me very early on in the book to lay aside everything I think I know, to have an open mind with this business meeting or this book with these steps, traditions, concepts, participating in the AA group and finding and taking my own inventory to see how I could be most useful, engaging and listening to what members of the group have to share, whether it be the A group, the area, etc., participating and sharing my experience and really taking the time to look beyond just my own experience in AA and my own group's experience in AA. So how do I do that? And that's a good lead in to saying this is why we need a GSR, because we can ask our GSR, what are other groups doing with this issue? We can ask our GSR to ask our DCM, what are other areas doing with this issue? We could ask our delegate to ask our board, fill in the blank. So short version, I'm participating in the common welfare simply by practicing the program, showing up to the business meeting and sharing my experience, strength, and hope, and listening to others share their experience, strength, and hope. In that process, it's going to take me out of myself in my experience.
All right, I have one more. Is there a warranty shave?
I don't think there is, but this is why I love questions. This is perfect. Because what do we always do in AA? We argue about the decision about the AA preamble. The AA preamble is owned and copywritten by the Grapevine. It's the AA preamble. Whether it's updated or not, that's the AA preamble. But guess what? The Tuesday night group can create their own shave. You don't make up your own steps. You don't make up your own traditions. But you can create a shave that just has the warranties. You can create a diagram. You can do whatever you want. That's what's cool. That's the group autonomy we're talking about in tradition four. Not autonomy that we say, I can do whatever I want. Leave me alone. I'll let you know when I want to talk to you. But you take that personality, because it's principle before personality, not instead of personality, and you bring it into a collective conscience. I only have a minute, so I can't really get into the whole story, but I have more stories for another time about how we did that at the area, and we drummed up and empowered some groups to participate and come up with some ideas of local literature and stuff. Again, I just want to thank you guys. I feel a little slower than normal. You know, I'm really worried about my mom. I'm off my game here. I hope I was clear. I hope I was useful, but thank you for giving me the opportunity to share with you guys tonight and come here and carry the message. I appreciate it.
All audio and video files on the District6AA.org website or the District 6 in Area 15 YouTube channel are for personal use only. Reproduction, distribution, and commercial use are not permitted. In accordance with District 6 current practice, no faces are shown in our videos and audio is scrubbed for anonymity prior to publishing. Contributors whose voices are heard have given record and release consent. Opinions expressed by the presenter are their own and do not necessarily represent the group conscience of District 6 as a whole.